Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. This is episode number 11 of the podcast featuring Kyle Van Dusen. Quitting job and going full-time into a profitable web agency. Interesting journey. Let's hear in. Before we begin, have you seen Created, a newsletter for creatives. The first issue is already out. Read that and sign up for future editions. Just go to smartwebcreators.com/created. Yes, it's created. Now let's begin the episode. Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Doing excellent. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. So you've been getting a lot of attention, at least in the Facebook communities that we are in. So your brand, Ogle Web, doing all the right things. But I'm also excited about your another project, which is the Admin Bar. And we'll get onto that. But before we proceed, why don't you give a quick introduction, like, of your, say, online life?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I think all the attention's coming from the good looks, but we'll pretend maybe it's web design related. I own Ogle Web Design in just outside of Fort Worth, Texas. I've been running this business since January of 2017. I started this with the thought that everything would be local businesses that I'd be working with, and I kind of stumbled into all these awesome communities online, and I found that my time is much more well spent marketing online, and I can get a better return on that, and I can sit at home all day. So I try to avoid those client meetings in person as much as possible now. So yeah, I've been trying to really push networking online as much as possible.
Now, you quit your regular job to start your web agency. Now, a lot of people decide to quit their job and start their own thing, but majority of folks fail in that because, hey, quitting job is so easy, but starting something that is equivalent is very difficult, especially money-wise. So Did you do any groundwork for that phase of quitting your job and starting your career as a solopreneur and agency setup?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll kind of start a little bit even before that. So my wife is a business owner too, and she works for herself. So she's a counselor, and she opened up her own practice maybe 6 years ago. She was still working a full-time job, and she kind of built that up on the side until she was, kind of making the same amount of money doing that as she was at her job. So she was able to quit and just do her practice full-time. And I watched her do that for about 2 or 3 months before I became completely jealous of her lifestyle that has afforded her. So, it had always been in my mind to own my own business. I had worked for about 15 years in the print industry. Mm-hmm. And, because that was my background and that's what I knew, that's kind of what I thought I would try to open up one day, but it's very expensive. It's lots of equipment, it's employees. I mean, I certainly didn't have the capital to start something like that. And I kind of stumbled into doing some web work for some friends of friends and stuff like that, because they knew me as a designer. So I guess they just figured I could do that too. I had no idea what I was doing. But I quickly realized that I kind of had a knack for it, and I enjoyed it. It kind of broke up all the mundane print work I was doing for so long. And I decided, well, I'm gonna give this a shot and see if I can actually make this a business. So, the thing that really has allowed me to succeed in quitting my job and starting this, and I got 3 kids and a wife and a house and all those things. A lot of that was just the planning, and especially the financial planning. During that process, we got ourselves completely out of debt, which, that's a huge problem here in America, especially everybody lives off credit cards. Yeah. So we cut up the credit cards, we paid off the cars, we paid off student loans. So we got ourselves completely out of debt, and that freed up, a lot of money where, you know, even if we had some ebbs and flows in our own businesses, we could absorb that a little bit better because we didn't have all those, you know, high interest bills and stuff. So that was step number one, was completely getting out of debt. And I just worked on building the business on the side, working full time and then coming home and working full time again and working on the weekends full time until I got to a point where it was kind of two things that tipped the scales. One was, I was making enough money that I felt pretty confident, you know, several months in a row, I felt like I was going to be okay. And then the second thing is I got to the point where I hated my job so much, I never wanted to go back. So I put in my 2 weeks notice and I haven't looked back 1 minute since.
So your boring job and the jealousy of your wife's lifestyle, yes, of being a businesswoman were two factors, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you started your web things while you were doing your full-time job and you made that transition, like once you were confident enough, yes, I can, you know, get enough money and work in this field and I'm ready to quit the job. Is that how you went?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just worked both things. I worked the full-time job and had this business for probably about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Probably only 6 months of that I was really serious about my business and I had registered my business. It was actively, you know, promoting and stuff like that. I had planned to quit my job at the end of 2017, and go full time. But by the time June of 2017 rolled around, I was feeling confident enough, and that's when I left my job. So about 6 months ahead of schedule, which was great.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you a secret. My first and only job was at Dell as a technical expert. Now, when I decided to quit for being there almost like 2 years, not many people were happy about it. Like my manager didn't want me to go. Some of my relatives were like, "You're crazy, man. This is the highest paying job that you will get in this region and you're, you know, quitting." But my family, you know, my parents, I was not married at that time. So my parents, they were like, cool about it. If you want to quit, do your own thing. Now, how was your family support when you took the decision to quit your job?
Yeah, you know, since my wife had already kind of made that journey herself, she understood it pretty well. She's probably less apt to take risks than I am. So I think she was a little bit more nervous about it than I was initially. You know, the rest of the family, I think, you know, I don't think anybody had any kind of issue with it. You know, I've always had good support from everybody. The boss was not happy. You know, I got to a point.
They're never happy, yeah, whether you're in the job or outside, right?
Yeah. You know, we had gotten to the point where we had a small store. There was four or five employees. I was the most senior level person there. So I ended up taking on a lot of his responsibilities. So he started taking a lot of time off work and buying a camper and buying a new truck and taking extra vacations and stuff. So all that work was being piled on me, which, you know, was part of the reason I didn't want to be there anymore. But I think he was pretty unhappy because he knew, you know, he was going to be back at work pretty soon. As soon as I left, there was going to be a lot of stuff to do. They didn't have anybody trained to take over my position. So I know that was a stress for them, but not my problem.
Yeah. So when you started as a solopreneur, like, how were your first few weeks, you know, running your agency and more importantly, looking for new clients?
Yeah, I, at the time I quit, I was already fairly busy with work. So I wasn't having to spend a lot of time hunting. So I think the first 2 weeks were probably the most blissful. You know, it was, I'm at home all the time. I'm with my kids. I'm with my wife. You know, I'm making my own schedule. I can stop work and go have lunch, go to the park with the kids. I can do whatever I want, you know? So I think those first 2 weeks were really, really great. You know, reality sinks in a little bit that you got to kind of keep this train moving. And then you realize too, you start having up months and down months and you realize that, even if you're busy, you need to keep the hustle going because that doesn't mean you're going to stay busy, you know? So every day is a learning opportunity for sure. And every day I've tried to grow, you know, at least my knowledge and how I'm running my business to try to keep that a little bit more level month to month.
So how did you build up the, you know, cluster of few initial clients while you were at the job? Like, was it like offline networking? Did you do some cold emailing? How did that happen?
You know, I tried some cold emailing and I don't think I ever got one response.
It was cold, right?
It was very cold. You know, I also didn't know what I was doing sending those emails either. So I'm sure if I went back and found them, they're pretty awful and I probably wouldn't have responded to them either. My first client was a nonprofit that I volunteered at. Mm-hmm. They needed some help with their website and I started doing that for them. And they started paying me basically a maintenance care plan to take care of their website. So that was the first thing I got. And I've used this strategy to tell a lot of people kind of starting out that it just works so well for me. A lot of those nonprofits have a big, you know, board of directors, and most of those board of directors are retired business people or well-connected people within the community. And I tried my best to really be involved with the organization. I was already volunteering there anyways. So all those people started recommending me to people they knew. And you know, I asked for those recommendations too, you know. Sometimes you just have to ask. People don't think to do that, you know. The first paying job that was somebody I didn't have any connection with came through a referral from them. And I think I got a referral from that job and it just kind of built from there. But all those in the beginning, probably the first year I was seriously doing this, were all people within the town I lived in or close by.
So nonprofit was your source for profit, right?
Like, yes, exactly.
For networking and so that was like for clients. Like, how did you prepare yourself to do the technical stuff like building websites and all that? Like, did you do any courses, help guides, tutorials? Like, what did you learn to prepare yourself as a solopreneur Kickstarter?
Yeah, I mean, YouTube, a lot of YouTube. So I found a lot of people that were teaching courses online, and especially about WordPress. I think the first time you dive into WordPress, especially coming from the design background, like I understood like how something should be laid out. But I didn't understand what a hosting, hosting plan was, or cPanel.
It can be a jungle. Everyone wants to snatch you up with some affiliate, you know?
Stuff. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I made some mistakes. I got a HostGator account and I got terrible. And, you know, I was just on the wrong track, but I think you got to start there, you know?
Yeah.
And I found Beaver Builder. And things started to make a little bit of sense to me because you could jump straight into the design aspect, which is where I felt comfortable. So I found Beaver Builder and I found this amazing community that surrounded WordPress that I had no idea existed. You know, finding a lot of these Facebook groups, different companies, pages and stuff, where all these people were just so helpful and willing to answer the terrible and awful questions I had, that everybody has over and over, you know, which theme should I use? You know, I'm sure I asked all those questions that I now see and hate. So there was just this amazing community of people that I would have never imagined existed. And I don't know that, you know, many other industries have supportive communities like this. So I learned a ton from people like you.
Oh, thank you. But you know what? You went with HostGator. It's actually good you went with HostGator. Why? Because you got to make a mistake to learn. And I'm sure you will never use HostGator. Nothing against HostGator, but it's once you go a few steps up, you know that you don't need that kind of shared hosting, like that economical type kind of shared hosting.
Right.
And coming to your, you know, point of asking basic questions. Exactly. Even in every community, be it Beaver Builder or other Facebook groups, a lot of people would ask basic questions like, which theme should I use? Which plugin should I use?
Right.
Some people will brush them under the carpet, but I have this habit, you know, you can ask me same question 100 times. I will give you the answer again. But then it's good that you found those communities, because there are certain communities where you will ask these questions and you will be, you know, thrown like a doll, seriously.
Yeah.
So good you found the right places to, you know, get the right information to get started. So how did you decide on your agency setup? Like, what type of clients you would take up? What kind of services you would offer? I know in the beginning, like, you would take any kind of a client, but you would decide on the services, you know, boundaries, because you are also technically learning at that phase.
Yeah. And I mean, that's something I'm still going through at this point. And I wonder if that's something that you ever just like check that off your list. I don't know if you're ever done figuring that out completely.
I do that. Yeah. I don't take certain type of projects. Like I used to take WooCommerce size, but now it's like big no for me. I don't know. My brain doesn't work there. So.
Sure. Yeah. No, I've definitely learned things that I definitely don't want, but I don't think I'm done figuring that out. You know, I think I still probably got some more things to say no to. I started off with taking on projects I had no business taking on, and having to rough my way through those mistakes.
For example,
because I came from a design background and know very little to no code, taking on websites that were just hard coded and, you know, thinking I could get in there and do enough to it. And, you know, it just, you know, I got jobs done, but it took way too much time and I didn't make any money. And,
that's a hair pulling experience, man. When you are like trying to figure out, even a small thing would take like 2-3 hours and you will say, oh man, that was easy. But guess what? My brain is not in the right place now.
Yeah. And even, you know, at the beginning I was offering hosting, as a service, not just for the people that I was building websites for. I now offer it for people who I'm managing their website for them. But, I was taking on people that just needed hosting, knowing nothing about hosting at all. So even now that I have some knowledge, I would never do that, but I really had no business doing that then. So, yeah, that was a bad mistake and something I learned from too.
But sure. I must tell you, you are a quick learner. You learn a lot of things in span of just about 12 months, man. That's impressive, to say the least.
Well, it certainly helped that I didn't have to tackle both the design and the development side of it. The design side I'd been doing for so long. I hadn't been designing websites, but so much of it translates from print layout to web layout. You know, in high school, I had taken some HTML classes and stuff. So I at least had some kind of like baseline knowledge, but there's just so many people producing awesome content to really help teach you how to do this. There's no reason you can't learn how to do this. There's just plenty of resources out there.
And regarding your physical setup, do you work from home or do you have some external rented space?
Yes. So I work from home. I plan on working from home into the foreseeable future. I think that's one of the things that I really don't miss is when I did have my job, we lived in a real small community. There wasn't many opportunities for work there. So I drove 40 minutes there and 40 minutes back every day for, you know, 11 or 12 years. That really kills your time when you're just wasting so much time in a car. I like the fact that I can get up out of bed and be at work. And when I want to quit work, I can walk right into the other room and be in the living room on the couch. So as far as I can see, that's how I will keep it.
I've been keeping that for last 10 years, man. But there are people who would switch to their home, to their big office in about 2 years, and they enjoy the home thing and they try to enjoy the office thing, but then again, come back to the home thing, because when you have kids at home, man, that's the best place to be.
Yeah. And you know, it takes a certain personality type to work from home, and it's not for everybody. You could run a very successful business and just not be the right personality to work at home. You just have to be naturally self-motivated. You know, yes. I really like my job, so it helps that when I get up, I want to come do this. But if I didn't have that feeling every day, it'd be real easy to say, well, I'll go do it later. So you got to be very self-motivated to do it. Otherwise, you need an office so you get up and have to leave.
Working from home is one of the most difficult thing to do. And people realize is like after 1 or 2 years while at home, I know I've been working for almost 10 years from home and I have a fixed schedule. Like I work from this block to this block while I'm working, no distractions. I have a separate room in the house and like separate space. I'm sure you would also. But you've got a new baby, so your schedule is according to that baby, which is fine. Yeah. I'm sure the baby sleeps after every 2 hours, so you can always work, right?
Yeah, and it helps. My wife makes her own schedule too, so we've just coordinated calendars so that, you know, we're both not tied up at the same time. So it works out okay. But yeah, I don't have any set hours right now.
Yeah, it's like I'll do the homepage design and then it's my baby duty, right?
Right, exactly. No, there's been plenty of times I've been sitting here at my computer with the baby laying on me trying to get stuff done. So that's okay though.
Baby is learning right from the start, right?
No doubt. I'm sure that blue screen is great for her.
Yeah. Okay. So what about the money plans? Like when you started your agency, did you plan for like, I'll make this amount of money or this amount of revenue per month, at least for next 3 or 6 months? Like, did you do any planning on the money front?
You know, I definitely mapped out how much I had to make.
Okay.
You know, we built up a runway to get us through the first few months. If something were to go wrong and I wasn't making money, you know, we could survive. I think we had 4 or 5 months worth of runway where we would be okay. If we got to that fourth or fifth month, I probably would have had to start getting out and looking for a job, you know? So I had a minimum amount that I needed to make. And I never really thought about the top end of that. You know, for me is if I could make what I was making at my full-time job, but be sitting at home, I would have been, you know, tickled to death for that scenario. And the way it's worked out has, you know, has been some luck and some hard work. And, you know, I make more money now than I did doing that. And get all the perks of being self-employed.
So you make more money now than your previous job. And you said tickled to death. Now, what would be something better than tickled to death, right?
Right. You can't get better than that. That's it.
Because my next question was like, when did you break even? Now, I don't know if that question is relevant now. So when did you break even, from which month?
Yeah. I mean, from the time I left my job, I don't think I've had a month yet where I didn't cover all of our expenses. So that's, knock on wood, that's been good. So I think part of that was I didn't go into it completely cold. You know, I had already been working on the business for a long time. So, you know, that helped me a lot. It's already had some of that built up.
Actually, that is the only thing that guaranteed success to you. Even when I left my job, during those days, I was not designing websites. I was blogging. I was a tech blogger and I used to make money via Google Ads and ads. And I used to do that even when I was in college. So, you know, when you complete your education, there's a tradition thing, you know, you've done your education, now look for a job. So I looked for a job. So even when I was working at my job, I would come home and I'll sit in front of computer for 4 hours, writing articles, doing my usual blogging, making money. But then after a certain period, you realize you are making more money sitting 4 hours in front of a computer as against sitting 10 hours and sitting in front of computer on a job. And you enjoy these 4 hours more than those 8 hours. So make a choice. And
yeah,
I did that and I'm really happy I took that decision at that time because I was at least younger than what I am now and I was not married. So I didn't have any obligations, you know, no money problem. Like I have to, you know, because once you're married, you have kids, you've got to think a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The more responsibilities you have, the harder it is. You know, I think one of the motivating factors too, and something I'd heard people tell me, but it didn't click in my head was, you know, I was working really, really hard to make somebody else rich, you know? So I worked for a small business. Now the owner of the business had put a lot up for the business. He had risked a lot for that business as well. So I don't want to say like he was handed anything, but you know, I was working a lot harder than he was and he was reaping all the rewards for it, you know? You know, at some point you got to say, you know, invest in yourself, you know?
Exactly. And the type of profession that we are in, like you and I, not just we get rich in terms of money, but we also get rich in terms of a skill set because every day we are learning something new as against if we spend like that time in a traditional 9-to-5 job, because here every day is a new thing. I'm sure you discover a new thing every day while interacting in our Facebook groups and, you know, visiting websites.
Yeah. And not only because you're so invested in your own company, like, you know, you need to keep progressing in order to stay relevant, but we're also in a field that changes so rapidly, you know? So it's the nature of the beast that there's always going to be something new and something you got to figure out and clients expecting new things that you haven't seen before. So, you know, that's one of the exciting things. There's never 2 days the same. I don't think I've ever experienced that. So that's definitely a fun part about it.
So you mentioned that you interacted with non profit, you know, people to get the new business. Now, once you had that initial few clients, did you do some learning and tried to build a funnel to get even wider variety of clients in your business?
Yeah. So, like I said, initially, all those people were local. Mm-hmm. I started making some connections online through the Facebook community. So, I had started talking with some people who were the influencers, the ones making YouTube videos, you know. So Adam at WP Crafter was one of them that I started talking with a lot. And he helped me out a lot, and he sent some people my way that needed some help. Mm-hmm. And I started doing some consulting for folks just needing like a hand with something. They needed some one-on-one attention, you know? And that really opened my eyes to, I'm not stuck to this geographical territory. You know, I can literally work with anyone, all over the world, so long as they speak English, because that's all I speak. So as long as they speak English, I can work with them, you know? So it really made me think about, okay, how can I market to this worldwide audience? Well, the traditional things that work in local markets don't work the same. So I'm never going to rank in Google when somebody types in website design in India. I'm just not going to come up, you know? So those kind of types of things aren't going to work. What's going to get you there is building relationships with people, you know? So I spend way too much time on social media. I have a tab open right now with Facebook, and it's showing me I have 7 notifications. It might drive me nuts.
I have same infection, man. My Facebook tab is also open.
Yeah. So, but what I've learned is I hadn't been wasting time on social media.
Exactly.
I did a blog post maybe a month or two ago. It had occurred to me that I was getting to a point where most of my clients weren't local. We moved back in May. We moved about 2 hours away from where we were before. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of reassessing where all my customers were. And I realized that I was getting to the point where the majority of my customers weren't even in Texas now. And I'm wondering, you know, how exactly did that happen? So I had wrote a blog post about where I had gone through all my invoices for this year, and it ended up 45% of the sales I had done this year are through connections I made on Facebook. And it wasn't running Facebook ads or promoting my business. It wasn't asking for a sale. It was
spamming.
None of that. It was
or spamming.
Yeah. None of that. It was being on these communities and talking to other people and offering advice when I could help.
Exactly.
And when you kind of develop those relationships, you get one, people that are way ahead of you and need to outsource stuff. And if you can make yourself available and they can trust you because they've seen you helping people on here, then you can get some work from those people. Two is the people that are on here that are new and trying to figure it out for themselves. You know, there's a large percentage of those people that are in these groups because they're trying to make their own website for their business or something, and they get stuck and give up. Yeah. Yeah. So, I've gotten a lot of work from just helping those people, and they say, you know what, I give up. Will you just do this for me? You know? So, it's been amazing that a lot of that time isn't wasted. It's not something you get a direct return on investment from that day. If I have a 20-minute conversation with somebody in Messenger, I'm not going to get paid today, but I might get paid in 3 months when they come back to me and want to hire me.
And it's not about getting paid or something. It's also about learning, because when you interact with new people, a lot of people say Facebook is time waste. Exactly. It is time waste if you are only on the Facebook feed. I actually don't even see my Facebook feed. I'm always in some group or in my group or, you know, right. Most of my notification, 99% of notification I get are from the, you know, group people tagging me or replying me, or they posted something in your... And every post that you see on any group, not just mine or yours, but other groups as well, there's something you can take away and learn. It's something new, because you can't live in your own bubble. You know, I know everything. Actually, no one knows everything. It's every day is a learning. And one more thing people forget when there are two ways of interacting in a Facebook community. One is the natural way. Other is the way or the intention of, you know, getting new business. If you are only with the intention of getting new business, that's not a natural, you know, interaction. And people can easily identify that. And you got to give first and then expect something. And a lot of people don't give, and hence they get disappointed and they go off, or they just go on the route of spamming. So Facebook community is really good. If someone wants to really start, just use your Facebook account in a right way.
Yeah. And just, I think I wrote in that blog post, I just tried to be as helpful and kind and, you know, encouraging as I could be anytime I could be, you know, just try to help people. And I think that this community has kind of taught me that, because so many people did that to me, you know? So yeah, give that back.
It's all about giving back, because the question that I asked 5 years ago, somebody answered it. Now someone new is asking that question. It's not my duty, but obviously if I will answer that, it would be, I think it would make me feel good about it. I don't know.
Sure.
But then everyone doesn't do that, so that's okay. But everyone is not same. So nonprofits, Facebook groups, what else? What else did you use to, you know, get more leads? Like, did you do any external marketing, advertising, content creation? What else?
Yeah, so I did a lot of like in-person networking at Chamber of Commerce events and stuff like that. That's always been super useful. It just takes a lot of time. You know, when you're out doing those things, you can't be working. I can be working and checking Facebook, but I can't be out at a networking event and getting work done. So those things are a huge time commitment, but they work a lot, just like we talked about the group. You can't walk into those events saying, buy from me, buy from me, buy from me. You walk into those events and just be helpful to people and get them to know, like, and trust you. And when you can do that, they'll want to buy from you. So I did a lot of that, and that led me to quite a bit of business. Obviously, I think just the nature of our business, referrals are just so important. So that's always been part of the puzzle. I did a little bit of blogging prior to like June of this year, but nothing consistent. Starting in June, I kind of came up with the game plan of being more consistent and writing a blog post every week or creating some kind of content every week. And really all I did was try to take questions that my customers were asking me, and I was responding in emails and publish those online. So a lot of them were really basic level questions. You know, what is Google Analytics, or, you know, just really simple stuff. But my customers are asking me those questions. So I just started answering those in blog posts. And what I found was it helped my SEO quite a bit, because those people that were asking me questions in email are asking Google the same questions. So when they're asking them and they're in proximity to me, my website's coming up for those answers. But also it saved me so much time when people ask me those questions in a future email, I refer them to my blog post. So that's been something fairly new. I've had some other things kind of take priority over that lately, so I haven't done a whole lot. I've done a few little lead generation, you know, lead magnet things. I get people kicking the tires on those, but that's kind of a hard thing to like to correlate a direct sale from somebody getting a free PDF, you know, when we're talking about jobs in the thousands of dollars. You know, it's hard to translate a free PDF into a $10,000 website project. It doesn't quite work that way, or at least not in my experience.
Okay, so you've been into profitable agency life for almost, I think, more than 1 year now. So if there was one thing you would have done better to be even in a better position as an agency owner, what would that thing be?
Whew, one thing.
You can do it. You can tell me multiple. I don't mind.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I always listened to the advice I was getting. So even if you don't... people online, family, people that I met in networking things, friends, you know, you don't always have to take somebody's advice, but you should listen to it. Most of the time when somebody's offering you their opinion, they're doing it fairly genuine to try to help you. It doesn't mean it's always the right answer, but don't, I often thought that my way was right because it was my way. So I try to be a lot more open to those things now, even if I think what they're telling me is a little crazy. Maybe I'll try to consider those things. So that's important. I had a bad habit of letting people get away with too much from me, trying to be kind to customers that wanted to take advantage of me. And it was real hard to start saying no to stuff. I wish I would have started saying no sooner. I still have some clients that I have now where I feel taken advantage of in our situation, but it's my fault because I've allowed it to happen so long, and I've dug myself so deep that my only way out of it now is to completely sever the relationship, which isn't what I want. So I kind of continue to get a little trampled on that. So I think learning to say no as soon as you can is important. It's just really hard when you want money, you don't want to say no. So those are definitely two things that I wish I would have done sooner.
Yeah, because in the beginning, no is never the answer, because you are looking for opportunities and you would say yes to most, because in fact, you would say yes to every opportunity you get, because in the beginning, you don't have that many. You cannot do pick and choose in the beginning. But once you are over that phase, now you can obviously pick and choose. Like, you get 10 leads, 5 matches you, 4 are okay with your budget, you get them in.
So, right.
That's
no, normal. I think somebody could have called me and asked to mow their lawn, and I would have done it in the beginning. You know, like, sure, yeah, I know how to mow a lawn. I'll come do that.
And there's a free website for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now looking ahead, now, how do you plan to scale up your agency work for higher growth and more profitability in future?
Yeah, so you know, I've spent a lot of time thinking and analyzing some options for that. I've been growing a lot here recently. The last few months have been the best months I've had. And I am getting to a point now where I'm gonna have to put some projects out to a future date or turn them down, because I only have so many hours in the day. So, you know, I kind of see two routes we can go, and that's outsource some help. I have tried that on a couple occasions, and I think just by chance, both the times it did not work well for me, and I ended up paying somebody to do work and then redoing it myself, and it cost me time and money, and it just didn't work out well. Probably my fault, not knowing what I'm doing. The other option would be to hire some folks and become an employer, and I have zero interest in that. I just can't find anything, any kind of reason that would make me want to hire somebody and be responsible for, you know, the livelihood of another human being. So I know that's not something I want to do. Right now, I think what I'm leaning towards is just positioning myself to get the maximum amount of money I can get for projects and kind of max myself out. You know, it will limit the amount of work I can run through my business as far as volume. But I also get to keep everything. You know, if I outsource stuff, I could do more work, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'll make more profit.
Yeah.
It just means I'll have more work going through my agency. And I'm not doing this for prestige or to show somebody, you know, I did $500,000 this year. I really don't care. I want to make enough to be comfortable and be happy. And I think managing people, maybe even managing people that I'm outsourcing, wouldn't make me happy. So right now I'm thinking I'm just going to keep trying to position myself even better to be able to charge more for what I'm doing.
A lot of people take the middle path. Instead of hiring employees, they hire subcontractors, but those subcontractors are like tried and tested people. Like, you don't hire a random person. You know that person can deliver that kind of thing. Probably yeah. You can look for that, because I have a same thing going on for last 10 years. I never ever thought of, you know, making a company, hiring people, because then I would be busy managing those people rather than doing the actual design and development work. And I love doing design and development as against managing people. If I was supposed to manage people, I would have just gotten another job.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't want to stop making websites and designing stuff for people, because that's what I like to do.
Yeah, I love to do it. So on your services front, now you offer design and development services. Do you anticipate any changes in there? Like, do you plan to offer more type of services or mix of services? Any changes that you anticipate in near future?
Yeah, so my background was all in print design. So I naturally just kind of rolled that into my business, because I didn't want to waste the knowledge I had in that, my experience in that. So I still do some print work and layout design work for some customers. But I'm really trying to scale back even that. I've pretty much scaled that back to I only do that kind of work for existing customers, and I don't take any work that's just print at this point. And I think I'll probably get to the point where I don't do any of that at all. So I actually kind of see scaling back on that some, and so I can focus just on websites because it's what I enjoy and it's more profitable for me. So I think I definitely see a day where I'm taking just design services as far as traditional design, non-web stuff, completely out of my book. Now, with the way technology changes, it's hard to say in the future exactly. You know, we might not be talking about WordPress in 5 years, you know, so who knows? There's artificial intelligence and everything else on its way. So, you know, I definitely want to stay towards the digital side of things.
Just curious, all the websites that you do you also bring those people on your maintenance care plan, or is that optional?
So in the beginning, I would barely even mention it to customers. Then I got to the point where I would at least bring it up. And then I started to realize how much business sense it made, you know? So, my current goal is to get enough, maintenance plan income to cover my monthly expenses. So I have a number set for how much it's going to cost for our family to survive every month. Mm-hmm. And I would like to get my maintenance plans to match that number. So that way, when the calendar rolls over to the next month, I know that at least all my bills are paid for. Now, everything I do from here on out is you know, icing on the cake. So that's my goal. So in order to get there, I'm trying to be a little bit more picky about the customers I take on to see if there's going to be opportunity for recurring revenue with them. And, you know, if it's one of those projects where I'm kind of on the fence, is this the right fit or not? And I know they're not going to be recurring revenue, I might say no to those things now. Mm-hmm. That might tip the scale some, but I've gotten probably the last couple months, I just write those care plans directly into the proposal as if I'm not even giving them an option. Now, if they didn't want it, they could tell me, hey, you know, cross this out or whatever. But I'm trying to just, I hate to be pushy or say I'm pushing it, but I'm just writing it into the service. This is what you get when you hire me.
What has been your conversion percentage like?
Let's see, probably this year, I'll be guessing, but it'd be fairly accurate. I would say 70% or so are saying yes when they have the option. Now, I have some jobs where I go into it and I'm doing white label services for another agency. Well, it's not even a factor at that point because they're just not in the market for something like that. So I wouldn't count that in my percentage, but my conversion percentage is getting a lot better as the year has gone on, for sure.
So you also do white label stuff for agencies, right?
Yeah.
And people who said no to on not being on your maintenance plan, what was the most of the common, you know, reason given that I don't want to be on your maintenance plan? Is it the pricing or something else?
Yeah, it's in every instance I can think of, it's the pricing, and it's the customers that are the super low budget customers. So, yeah. You know, they came in wanting the cheapest website they could get, and then, you know, it's not in their budget. So, for that scenario now, you know, I basically, like I said, write it into the contract and basically tell them this is non-negotiable as far as scope of work that needs to be done to keep your website maintained. You can have me do it, or you can do it, or you can hire somebody else to do it, but don't even bother with the website if you're going to just let it grow weak.
Someone has to do it.
Yeah. And I've been hired back for some people that didn't buy maintenance plans because their website's not working. And I go in there and it just hasn't been touched in a year. WordPress doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it's just not us who have to fail to learn new things. Even clients have to fail to learn new things.
It's a lot more expensive to hire me later to do that than it would have been to just have me on a care plan.
I'm sure your clients are listening to this now.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's talk about myths of agency comfort. Now, myth number one, as an agency owner, you work less as compared to regular 9-to-5 job. Now, in fact, you have to put more working hours when you work as a solopreneur. What's your take?
I worked 40 to 45 hours at my full-time job the whole time I was there. I don't even want to begin to guess how many hours I work now,
but it's a lot. Definitely more than 40, right?
It's way more, but I enjoy it a whole lot more. So it doesn't feel like as much. I also have this situation being at home that sometimes I don't know if I'm really working or not working. It's kind of an in between. I might go sit in the living room in the recliner with my laptop and be working, but also spending time with the family. Is that on the clock or off the clock? If I had a job, that would definitely not be, I would not be getting paid for that. So yeah,
you can never imagine changing diapers in your 9-to-5 job, can you?
No. And I'm definitely doing that now. So I'm definitely working more hours, but I'm enjoying them a whole lot more. So I'll work on the weekends sometimes. I'm trying to scale that back, but yeah, definitely way more hours now.
Okay. Myth number two, you're always running after getting new clients. Well, it's true to some extent in the initial phase, but once you're over it, I guess everyone can build a solid workflow to get fresh leads, regular leads, consistent leads. What's your take on this?
So yeah, in the beginning, for sure. When you get fairly established and you have a good referral network, it gets easier. But what I've learned is you can't stop chasing some leads. You can't stop trying to find business, because even if you have a really good month and you think, okay, I can't take on any more work, or even next month's going to be very busy, that can change real quick. And you don't want to have killed off that chain and have to start over again. So you always have to be nurturing that pipeline and always be bringing work in. Now you can be more selective about it. You can do some things to slow it down when you need to slow it down, like raising your prices or putting work out further in advance. But you have to keep it going. You can't just stop, because one day you're going to really regret that.
Cool. So now let's talk about your latest endeavor, which is the adminbar.com. Yeah. Now, you've just been a year or so in your agency life, and how did you get this idea of starting something new?
So when I still had a full-time job, I got my first lead through my website of somebody out of state that I didn't know. He wanted a logo or something. And, I was very excited about it. I had no idea how he found me, but I was very excited he found me. I wrote him several times, never got anything back. It just died off. Maybe a couple months later, I got a phone call from a guy named Matt Siebert in New Hampshire, who said, "Hey, I've been, I'm looking for some people to outsource to. You know, he basically has the same kind of business I do. Would you be interested in that kind of work?" And I certainly was. So he started sending a few jobs my way. And we hit it off really well. You know, we had similar personalities. Our businesses were kind of the same model. He works from home. I work from home. You know, we're kind of the only people we knew that did this thing. So we just hit it off really well. And we realized pretty quickly that, we were really helping each other's businesses grow by offering advice and experience and bouncing ideas off of each other and stuff. And the relationship of him sending me work kind of went away. And we were really we're friends, and we were growing our own business by working together. You know, we're almost kind of partners in each other's business, because we talk every day, on the phone, texting, you know, email. And anytime, you know, if you were back at your job you had before and you had a question, you'd lean back out of your cubicle and ask the person next to you. And if I do that right now, nobody's going to answer, you know. And I think we're all in that situation, or a lot of us are in that situation, where we don't know what to charge for a website. We don't know how to say no to a client. No. There's just so many scenarios where I have a question, and having Matt to bounce all these ideas off of and help me has accelerated my growth 10 times.
Yeah. Having an accountability partner is very important in our business of work, and our cubicles are Facebook groups now.
Sure. So this relationship has been so beneficial to both of us. You know, I thought this has got to help other people too. You know, how could we make what we're doing on a bigger scale? You know, so we came up with this idea for the admin bar. little play on words. But the idea was it's WordPress related. And, you know, it's kind of a relaxed atmosphere where you get together with your friends. So the idea is to get a lot of like-minded people together and share some of the nuts and bolts of what's going on with their business. So we're doing some weekly live streams. We're going to have guests on and certain topics we're going to discuss every week. For instance, next week we're having Paul Lacey and Chris Castillo on to talk about their business model. One hires employees, the other is outsourcing for work. And we're going to talk about that and what went into those decisions and somebody looking to scale, what would be the right option for them. So those are the kind of conversations we're having. Today, me and Matt jumped on a live call and discussed value-based pricing. In fact, we had talked about this the other day about having this discussion. And then I saw a video of you and David Walmsley talking about how you don't do that, don't do the value-based pricing. And it didn't work as well for your business model. So it was kind of the other position on that. So we got on there and had a chat and had a bunch of people chiming in and commenting and had a good conversation about it. But the goal is really just to get as many people as we can in there sharing what's really going on in their business. Not so much tips and tricks, although I'm sure that's a part of it, but like, how can we really support each other and answer the questions that we don't have answers to?
Yeah.
So that support network is what we're after.
Cool. I did watch your intro episode. I missed the today episode because I was offline, but I'm definitely going to catch the replay. So congratulations. And
I appreciate it.
I'm sure it will be rocking.
Well, I hope so. We're having fun with it, if nothing else. So it's, you know, I think eventually everybody gets to the point where you can only do so much client work or you start to get kind of burnt out and you kind of have to work on some, you know, we're all kind of creative types. So
See why I'm doing this. Yeah. Because I, you know, I love doing this. It's not work for me. It's something, you know, enjoyment. Like you have office parties. This is just an office party for us.
Yeah. Yeah, we get to hang out with all these people, especially like, you know, how far apart are we right now?
Yeah.
If we were just out in the real world, not on the internet, there's no way we would connect, you know?
And it's really cool. The most important part is talking to a person who understands what you're talking. Now, if I get hold of a random person on the street and start talking WordPress, that person will say, this guy's gone crazy. What the hell is talking about? You know, but when you meet someone or, you know, be it online, offline, someone who would understand your language of CSS, PHP, WordPress, value pricing, you want to talk, you know, that conversation never stops.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get that kind of camaraderie at a job because you have other people doing the same thing you're doing. And when you do this from home, if I walk into the other room and start telling my wife about some WordPress thing, she really does not care at all. I don't blame her. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's like that water cooler talk we all kind of get to have together. And it's just, and this community is unique. I just think WordPress community is unique that we can all, I don't feel any like severe competition from each other or hiding things from each other.
And that's the beauty of it, you know, just you and me, we are in the same business. We are in the same, you know, we are looking for same kind of clients. It's not just us. There's so many other people that we interact on daily basis on Facebook groups and other, you know, ways. We all have same client base, but there's no rivalry in there. There's no, you know, bad blood there. There's always, you know, the feeling. Obviously, you will find few odd people. That's given. Sure. But majority of them are ready to help because like if you and me talk on the same topic and I suddenly discover, oh, you do this thing this way, but I do this thing this way. So we can always match, you know, which one is a better way, you know, and then change the workflow.
Absolutely. And I mean, even just me and you talking on this podcast, I'm sure you're going to be coming on the admin bar. And I think in any other industry, me and you would probably be direct competitors. That's probably how our relationship would be. And I don't feel that at all.
Our swords and guns will be out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'd be doing recon right now, trying to figure out what you're doing.
Okay, man, let's dive into your toolbox. So which are your five current favorite tools that power your online business?
So I'll try to stick away from just saying WordPress, but WordPress, I've been working with Elementor a lot. So a lot of tools that surround Elementor are very important to me. Mm-hmm. Some things that I use kind of on the back end that aren't design and WordPress related. I've lost count of what I've already said, so I hope a number around 5 is okay. Better proposals for mm-hmm. writing proposals. It's my least favorite thing in the world to do. I cannot stand writing a proposal. I never want to do it. I just want to start the work. So better proposals help me because those templates are in place and I can keep everything organized. I use Wave apps for all my accounting. And that's another thing that I don't want to do at all is figure numbers and check my bank account and just don't care. Can I pay the bills? I'm happy. But Wave has been super, super helpful in doing all that accounting stuff and making it really easy. I've been using ClickUp to do some
project management.
I still have trouble staying on top of those things. Sometimes I just want to do the work and not mess with keeping it organized, but I know that's going to be valuable if I stay on it. So those are definitely some things that help me out a ton.
So which is your recommended web hosting service?
I don't think I necessarily have one. I think my my idea changes all the time. Right now, most of my stuff is on a reseller account with InMotion.
Okay.
I've had some recent trouble with them, but it got worked out and things have been good since then. I plan on probably going to something more robust soon, but I just hate that pain of
moving,
trying to get everything switched over. I just don't even want to mess with it.
Well, it's
in fact, the original HostGator account that I referenced earlier, I still have it and I'm still paying for it. And there's still like 3 or 4 websites on it because I just don't want to mess with them. And it's just cheap enough that I don't care.
Yeah, moving websites is very painful. And not just website, even domain names. You know, I have a few domain names on GoDaddy. I just don't have energy to move them from GoDaddy to Namejim. I just let it sit there. Who cares?
Yeah. So and I think all the ones I haven't moved have been the ones that have email addresses attached to them, because then it's really just a nightmare that I don't want to deal with.
Yeah, my email did not arrive. Where is my email?
Yeah, I don't want to have that conversation.
Okay, so next question. You did mention Elementor. So which is your recommended page builder? Now I'm asking you this question because when you started, I remember your website, Ogle Web, was on Beaver Builder. Mm-hmm. And you left Beaver World and you went into Elementor. Why did that happen?
Yeah, so Beaver Builder was my introduction to page builders in general. Mm-hmm. And when Themer came out, I hadn't been around WordPress that long. And I remember buying it and having no idea what it was going to do. But it just sounded like it was going to be great, you know. So I got really into that and learned what it did and everything like that. When I started working with Matt and he started sending me projects, he did everything in Elementor and I had to kind of figure my way around there. Okay. And what I learned is both of those page builders are excellent. And I think both of them do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
For the way my brain works, Elementor from the design side just works easier for me. I think it's, I know there's been some changes here in Beaver Builder recently or some upcoming changes that are really pushing that forward. Yeah. So I'll be interested in seeing those, but I think just the way I work, Elementor's worked better for me. But, you know, I until the newest Elementor came out, I really missed Themer. So, you know, that's been a big deal.
Themer is very powerful. If you know how to use it, it's very powerful. You can build any kind of custom website, even a membership website using Themer. I think Lee Jackson's agency Trailblazer community, your membership site, even that is powered by Beaver Themer and Beaver Builder. It's amazing. It's just Beaver Themer has a big learning curve. It's not easy to, you know, figure out things, because once you install it, you don't see anything there. It's just a new button. That's but you got to make use of it. You got to try it. Yeah. So,
I mean, I think the best thing for Elementor and Beaver Builder both is them having each other, because I think it's pushing both of them to innovate and do better things. So
yeah, actually competition is good, because Beaver Builder is adding new, you know, styling topography features. Why? Because people were asking for it. And why they were asking for it? Because they've seen them, they've used them in Elementor. And now once people have used and seen Beaver Themer, they're asking for similar features in Elementor. you know, mm-hmm. and even I think Divi released that dynamic content thing with Elementor, which Beaver Thema does recently. So
right.
it's just like everyone is rubbing each other's shoulder, and the and each and every product is getting better and better.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I still have a lot of websites on Beaver Builder, so I'm still using it.
Oh, that's good. So which is your recommended email marketing service?
Recommended, I would have to go with, I've been doing the No Fear Funnels course from Dave Foy, and he's shown us a lot in Drip, and it looks fantastic, and I don't have an account. But if I were to pay for an account, that's what I would get. I do have for my own projects, I have MailChimp accounts, and it serves me okay because I hadn't needed to do anything too advanced. But Drip looks really great.
Any upcoming tool or service that has caught your attention?
You know, I obviously, I think everybody's been kind of captivated by what's going to happen with Gutenberg. So I think that's on top of everybody's mind. Although I don't think everybody's as stressed as they once were.
Yeah.
You know, I bought the lifetime license to that Breezy page builder, because some of the things they're doing in that, changing stylings globally and stuff like that, were just really cool. And I thought were really neat. I haven't yet installed it on a website. I've yet to use it at all. But I'm kind of watching them to see what happens with that, because it's been pretty interesting.
Shiny object syndrome.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. Lastly, any golden advice to a person wanting to quit his job and get into full-time building their solopreneur career or agency setup doing website design and development? What would be your golden advice to that person?
I mean, the most important thing I did was get my financial life in order first.
Okay.
You know, no matter what you do, you're going to have to chase leads. You're going to have to find customers. You're going to have to learn how to build websites and deliver for clients, and all that's the same across the board. And that's going to have some effect on if you succeed or not, but you're going to really set yourself up for a better chance if you're not living or dying off every client. So, you know, if you're still working a full-time job, build a runway, get yourself out of debt, do all those things you can do to really set yourself up to succeed, because successful people, it's easier to keep being successful. You know what I mean? So if you're already in a hole and you're already struggling, you're just making it harder to dig out of it. So if you can set yourself up for success, especially financially, not having to have to take on every project and go mow somebody's lawn to pay the bills or whatever. You know, I just think that's so important.
That's cool. Kyle, it was amazing talking to you. I'm sure even you felt good about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's keep going. It's only been 1 hour and 7 minutes. What are we doing?
Nope. We've got to wrap it up. Probably we'll go for episode number 2 sometime in maybe next few weeks or a few months. So have a good day.
Absolutely. You too. Thank you so much.
You can join the free Web Creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.